Good afternoon, everybody. So, I think it is an opportune time to speak about. Actually, Yaakov Toledano brought up this topic, which I think is good for both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Is to really, we started last week in the previous shiurim speaking about differences in minhagim and how to navigate as a Sfaradi and Ashkenazi settings and vice versa. But even before that, there's a step back that we should take to understand there are obviously different minhagim and different shitot between Poske Sfarad and Poske Ashkenaz. What would be interesting to explore is how it got that way. What are the underlying differences, not necessarily in specific halachot, but in shitat ha-psika, in different, the theories of how Poske Sfarad versus Poske Ashkenaz would paskin halacha. Once it's already paskined, we know that usually Sfaradim would follow Poske Sfarad, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and others, while Ashkenazim would follow the Poske Ashkenaz, the Tosafot, Rumat Adishin, Ramah, and their Poskim. And that also, not only with regards to the earlier Poskim, also with regards to the Acharonim. You know, Ashkenazim are more Meshu'abad to Mishnah Berura, Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe, as opposed to Sfaradim. And Sfaradim are more Meshu'abad to the Kaf HaChaim, Ben Ish Chai, Maran Zichrono Livracha, as opposed to necessarily Poske Ashkenaz Acharonim. So much so, very famously, there's quite a cute anecdote with Maran Zichrono Livracha. He was one time invited to the Siyum of Dirshu. Now, Dirshu, it's a worldwide organization that disseminates Torah in all of its facets, in Gemara and Halacha and Musar. It's an unbelievable organization. They have tremendous zechuyot. So one time they made a siyum on, I think, the entire cycle of Dirshu Mishneh Berurah. I think they finished the cycle. And they invited Maran Zichrono Livracha to address the siyum. And he went up there and he was saying Chazak Baruch to all the Misayimim, and it's wonderful, whatever. And then, but then he kind of went on a rant, which some Ashkenazim misunderstood, but he started saying, "Aval ma ze lilmod Mishnah Berura? Mishnah Berura cholek al Maran." And he started going all, "Agaon Mishnah Berura, agaon gadol, aval cholek al Maran, cholek al poskei Sfarad, cholek al poskim shelanu." And he went off on only learning Mishnah Berura. He says learning Mishnah Berura is a building block. Now they misunderstood. Some people at the time thought Chas v'Shalom, it was a personal attack on the Mishnah Berura. Ma pitom, Chas v'Shalom. I'll tell you another, the end part of that story. But he says for Sfaradi, to learn only Mishnah Berura is wonderful from one side, because the Mishnah Berura gives you, as he says, Mishnah Berura gives you, he gift wraps the sugiya, you know, little snippets of the sugiya, the poskim rishonim acharonim. He tells you what's going on. So that's a wonderful part of that. Many times also give you the psak halacha that is uni minhag for both of us. But the flip side of that for Sfaradim is that sometimes the Mishnah Berura will take the liberty of being machriya like Poske Ashkenaz, or being machriya like himself, neged Maran HaShulchan Aruch and neged Poske Sfarad, which for us is a little bit problematic, which means you have to know basically what Maran Zichrono Livracha was saying, that when a Sfaradi learns Mishnah Berura, you have to know how to make this havdalah between the explanations of the Mishnah Berura and the psakim that are appropriate to us versus the ones that are not. Now, that was totally, totally misinterpreted, and there was a big balagan in the Torah world and whatever. So afterwards, the end of the story was that in order to show that Chas v'Shalom, he didn't mean anything Chas v'Shalom, nifgoa b'kiuze of kvodo of Agaon Chafetz Chaim Gdol Ador. So for the next tkufa, every day after Shacharit, Maran Zichrono Livracha would say Dvar Halacha. And usually it was Ba'al Peh, he would say Dvar Halacha, random. For the next tkufa, the next few months, he would say Dvar Halacha mitoch ha-sefer. He would read one halacha or two halachot a day from Chafetz Chaim, from Sefer Chafetz Chaim, every day. To show that, yeah, we learned the Chafetz Chaim's halachot also. He was just making a point that you have to be vigilant, that just like, you know, just like when Ashkenazim, you can make the same thing. When Ashkenazim learn Mishnah Berura, they don't follow all of the Psakim Shulchan Aruch. Many times the Poske Ashkenaz will argue Shulchan Aruch. So the same thing, when a Sfaradi learns Mishnah Berura, you have to know mi va mi ha-olechim. You got to know mi neged mi, what's the shitot. It's good. You have to know all the shitot, but you have to know how to navigate. That's why Baruch Hashem today there are several options for Mishnah Berurahs that incorporate Poskei Sfarad as you're learning, al makom, and it makes life so much easier for a Ben Torah Sfaradi who's learning halacha from the Mishnah Berurah. Learn the Mishnah Berurah, bevadai. It's the building blocks of halacha. But what? They have like these, there's many different ones. There's the Ish Matzliach, there's the Tiferet, my personal favorite, written by Rav Dahan, the Amudei Hora'ah. On the spot, he'll tell you, when the Mishnah Berurah gives a psak, that's Shelo Kedat Poskei Sfarad, they'll tell you. But Poskei Sfarad, hold this way. Or Haikar Kedat Maran. You have to know, because the reason why you're learning the Mishnah Berurah to begin with is so you're able to rule, you're able to paskin halacha lema'aseh, zeyedua. Like the pasuk says in Megillat Esther, liyot kol ish sorer beveto umedaber kilshon amo. What does it mean, sorer beveto? Every man has authority in his house to be some sort of, not a tyrant, chas v'shalom, but to have a position of authority. To a certain extent, you have to understand, right now it might be a little bit less pronounced because you're still single. But after you get married, every man becomes the posek of his house. What do I mean by that? Not every man is a posek, but every man is the posek of his house. Meaning, what goes on there, oy va'avoy, if the man is not the posek of his house, if the woman becomes the poseket of her house, zebusha. Many times, Maran Tzomcha used to say also, there's a shayla that comes up in the house. A shayla in Hilchot Shabbat, a shayla in Hilchot Basar V'Chalal, a shayla in Hilchot Tahora. Lom shane. A shayla comes up, and then the guy is mamash, v'lo yada, like the pasuk says in this week's parasha about Lot, v'lo yada b'shichva v'kumah. Lo yada klom. He doesn't know. And what? Because the woman of the house has, you know, sometimes minimal, sometimes more formidable training in halacha by going to seminary and stuff like that, so she becomes the poseket. That's a little busha. Yeah, the man, you've gone to yeshiva all these years, and you don't know basics, and not asking for just basics. Shabbat, Kashrut, Tahora, you know, basics. That's why Maran Tzomcha always pushed his Talmidim. Even, by the way, Maran Tzomcha's own children learned in Ashkenazi yeshivas. In Panovich, Chevron, Petach Tikva. Their entire lives they learned in Ashkenazi yeshivas, and he was perfectly fine with that. But he said also, incorporate into your Seder HaLimud, preferably extracurricularly, which means besides for your Sidra Yeshiva, make sure to become slowly but surely proficient. Belimud Halacha? No, because not only for now. First of all, people are under the impression, I'll learn Halacha after I get married. Yeah, and when you're single, you don't have to know Halacha? You don't do Netilat Yadayim every morning, Bekot HaShachar, Tzitzit, Tefillin, Kriyat Shema, Tefila, Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit, Shabbat, Mu'adim. None of these Halachot apply until you get married? What happened? All of a sudden you think you're going to get married, boom. All of a sudden I'm going to become posekador because I got married now. It doesn't work like that. You have to start laying the groundwork. You got to start somewhere. Where do you start from? You start from Siman Aleph. You open up Siman Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, slowly but surely. Now again, there are different methods, which maybe we'll speak about in coming shiurim, about how to learn halacha. Different methods, different strategies, especially for retention. But that's a different story for now. But everybody's got to start somewhere. And sometimes the sdarim, every yeshiva, at least on paper, has some sort of mandatory halacha seder. As long or short or, you know, enforced as that seder is. I went to yeshivas my whole life. There's always a halacha seder on paper, but rarely was it emphasized or enforced. And that's a crying shame. That's a tragedy. Because unfortunately, as a result of that, you have to start somewhere. You got to start from Siman Aleph. You don't want to start from Siman Aleph, so start from, you know, the end of Orach Chaim, Tafresh Sadizayin, whatever it is. You got to start somewhere and build it up. You're not going to conquer Rome in a day. Le'at, 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 le'at. Like Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Kometz al Yad Yarbeh. Every day do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and you gain a lot with Chazerot. Yeah.
What does the Rav recommend for Lachar?
In terms of?
How long they should learn?
That's a very... No, it's a very, very vague and subjective question, and it depends on many different factors. And you know, every guy in yeshiva has different, it's the same seder, but different learning, you know, first of all, different goals, aspirations, times. Everybody's, from what I understand, not everybody has exactly the same sederim. People have different classes and whatever, so it really depends on your personal seder ayom.
A mentor, someone that wants to learn for a lot of the day, how should they look at
Blish, without any safek whatsoever? You have to make time every day. I don't know if you probably can't do it during Seder, but at least Ben Asdarim, or one of your, you know, one of your off times when you have some personal time, just like you make lehavdil elef alfei avdalot, personal time for studying, you have to make personal time lelimud halacha, and however long or short it is, but it should be consistent. Now, you want to ask something, Yosef?
Yeah, what would I recommend in a practical sense of how the Talmidim who are Babylon on the plane,
yeah,
both,
yeah,
may not have as much time as we would like to.
I'm going to talk about, you know, how to learn halakha lema'aseh, halakha lema'aseh. I'm going to, Bezat Hashem, break that down. Probably not today, because today I want to just broaden the discussion a little bit, but I will give you, Bezat Hashem, practical tools. How to do it, master it, while in yeshiva, not sacrificing one seder of yeshiva. How's that? It sounds wonderful, but you really have to know how to do it, and it has to do with time management and maximization, which is a different story altogether. It means cutting down on batala, which is, a lot of people, the Yetzer Hara, hates Limud HaTorah. And, you know, one of his most powerful weapons in his arsenal to combat Limud HaTorah is batala. And it's that's why the sin of Bitul Torah is so much. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Lametet, Tchilat Dino Shel Adam Al Bitul Torah, a person gets punished first for Bitul Torah. Anyway, Rabotai, I was telling you about Masoret HaPsika of Sfaradim, Poske Sfarad versus Poske Ashkenaz. It evolved through time. It wasn't always like that. And like we spoke about yesterday in passing, even Minhage Sfarad V'Ashkenaz are only, what did I tell you, it's a symptom, it's a side effect of Galut. There wasn't always, when we had a Sanhedrin, B'Nishkat HaGazit, there wasn't Minhage Sfarad, Minhage Ashkenaz, there was Psaka Sanhedrin. They went, they deliberated, they took a vote, and there was the Psak Halacha for all of Am Yisrael. There was one Minhag, one Psak, one Akod, one Nosach. We didn't have all these things. Now, that being said, as the Galuyot progressed, and Am Yisrael unfortunately had to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Bavel and other countries, and some came back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayit Sheni. You know how many people, by the way, came back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayit Sheni with Ezra Sofer? It's a pasuk in Ezra. 40,000 people. That's it. Millions. Of the millions upon millions of Jews that went to Galut, Bavel, after Churban Bayit Rishon, and all of the excitement of going back to Eretz Yisrael to build Bayit Sheni, when they had permission from the Persian government to do so, Ezra Sofer was only able to muster up 40,000 Olim Chadashim. That's it. Everybody else stayed in Bavel, Parasumadai, Teman, the other countries that they were in, huh?
Kafkazi.
Yeah, they stayed there and then they kept on spreading, and then they went to Sfarad and Turkey and Ashkenaz and all these places. So you can tell in general that the Masoret HaPsika was constantly evolving based on many variables. If you want to see quantified what the differences are between the way Sfaradim pasken halacha versus Ashkenazim, the best place to see it, and I've spoken about this in passing before, is, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Shelot u'tshuvot Rav Pe'alim, Chelek Aleph. Mi Rav Pe'alim?
Ben
Yosef Chaim, the Ben Ishchai. That's a Shelot u'tshuvot. His magnum opus is the Rav Pe'alim. Interestingly enough, Rav Pe'alim is comprised of four chalakim, and in each chelek he has tshuvot on all facets of Shulchan Aruch. Orach Chaim, Yored De'ah, Choshen Mishpat, Ibn Ezer, plus he even has a section called Sod Yesharim, which is Shelot u'tshuvot beKabbalah. As you know, the Ben Ishchai was not only a master posek, he was also a master mekubal. He was an expert in Torah Tanistar, and he has shelot u'tshuvot on Kabbalistic topics as well. Very, very integrated into the Sefer. So that was a shtickl novel idea, because we don't usually find shelot u'tshuvot. Usually shelot u'tshuvot are halachic in nature. The Ben Ishchai was mechadesh this thing. I mean, it's been there before, but he really kind of codified this thing of Shelot u'tshuvot in Kabbalah. Anyway, if you look in the Hakdama, the Pticha of the Rav Pe'alim, it is an eye-opener. I will not read you the whole thing. That's, you know, the building blocks of knowing or learning how to learn halakha. You must. Any person who ever strives to understand the halakhic system has to go through this Pticha of Rav Pe'alim. Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, and everybody in between. Mi shelo oseh kacha, it's a chaval. Chaval Gadol, because he breaks down really what it was. Now, I want to read to you a few select paragraphs from the Pticha that he says. And if you look, I always say that it's important to learn the Hakdamot of Sfarim. You ever heard me say that?
Yeah.
Why?
It's the neshama of the book.
What do I mean by that, neshama of the sefer?
His intention of writing the sefer.
It tells you historical background, tells you a little bit about the Mechaber, tells you about who his Rebbeim are, tells you what he's trying to accomplish, tells you what time he lived, what he lived through. It's a very, very interesting thing. Now, in the Pticha over here, since he's writing about Shelot u'Tshuvot, he writes down like this. I'm just going to kind of trying to condense it, but and then I'll tell you just a broad version, just a concise version of what the Mechaber says. This is the second paragraph. He says, "V'hineh b'va'alei teshuvot yesh shnei sugim." There's two kinds of people who write shuvot. Now, primarily, he's talking about people who write shuvot are poskim in general, but it's not only them. That also goes. This also applies to any random people who are learning, writing, whatever it is. What are the two kinds of chachamim that write shuvot? Ki yesh nishal be'eza inyan she'ela achat, o chakar chakira achat, v'hu nichnas letoch ha'cheder shel oto inyan. V'resham shulchan uruch mukhan, u'matzig lefanav ki'arot meleo tafshin mevushal mevusam im primigadim. He says, sometime, let me just finish the paragraph. Ze omer becha, ze omer becha, v'hu orech teshuva leota she'ela o ha'chakira mima she'asa v'lakach min ha'shulchan aruch lefanav. Which means, there's a kind of person who's asked a shayla, he enters a room with all of the things prepared before him, which means he sees all of the shitot, the rishonim, the acharonim, and he starts writing down from what he finds on the table. What's the table? The shulchan aruch of all the poskim that he has, the poskim rishonim, right? He says different kinds of, you have the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables, and you have everything, and he writes it down, so he prepares the whole sheila for you. והנה בוודאי צריך לזה חוכמה, לברר מן השולחן הערוך לפניו, ברונה כי עובר מנוכה, הראוי ונוגע לאותה שאלה. This takes a certain kind of mindset, because if you're doing that, not everything on the table is necessarily relevant to the Seudah. Not everything that you find, not all materials that you find are relevant to the Sheila at hand. You can't just write everything, you got to know how to pick, you have to do borer. He says, ולא יתלט תניה בדלת תניה, אך זה חכים יתקרה, רבי לה יתקרה. ויש נשאל, says, ויש נשאל באיזה עניין, שאלה או חקר חקירה, והוא משדר עמקים באותו עניין. By the way, the Ben Ish Chai makes reference of this also. There's two kinds of שאלות ותשובות. Actual and theoretical. Which means, most שאלות ותשובות are based on actual שאלות that the Chacham received to Paskin on. There are some Sfarim that are based on שאלות ותשובות that are, the questions that are written weren't actually asked. They are theoretical questions that the Chacham used as a springboard to kind of explore that topic. For instance, anybody know any Sfarim like that?
Get the name.
Trumat HaDeshen. It's brought down, the Birkei Yosef brings down the Trumat HaDeshen, Rabbeinu Yisrael Isran, one of the masters of Posken Minhagi Ashkenaz that the Rama brings down all the time, one of the latest Rishonim. It's brought down by tradition that the she'elot over there were not actual. He made up the questions himself, and he answered them. Anyways, he says, "V'mishadid amakim be'oto einyan, u'min ha'cheder shel ha'inyan ahu potach lo derachim u'shvilim chadashim latzet v'lelechet b'hem l'chadarim acharim. Yam mavaked mavetzafon avanegba. U'v'chol makom asher nichna sham, olev yored, kosher u'matir, machnis u'motzi. U'mekol ele orech teshuva shlema b'ruran kiyam menupa b'yudgim anapot. הנה לזה חכים יתקרב רבי יתקרב ועליו נאמר רבות בנות הסוחיל ואת עלית כולנו, which means the guy enters the room and he knows what to pick and he goes length and width and breadth and height and he goes through all of the dimensions of the תשובה, doesn't just quote unquote write he goes through it and he analyzes and he brings the things he has to really sift through it, ביוד גימל נפה, with 13 sieves, it's a language of the Gemara. He says that's a higher form, but then he says then there's other kinds of people who write תשובות. עוד יש בבעלי תשובות שני סוגים בעניין אחר, והוא. יש דרכו לדבר בתחילת תשובתו התנצלות לפתיחת פיו ועברת קולמוסו באותה תשובה אשר משיב לשואליו. There are many מחברים who before they write, they start off with like an apology. There's not התנצלות, which is kind of like בענבה. I apologize, you know, I'm not worthy to even broach the topic. Yeah, but I was asked, and since there's a chiyuv to answer halacha l'maaseh when you can, so I have no choice but to enter the ring, so to speak, and deal with it. ומדבר במענה לשונו בדברי ענווה ושפלות שמשפיל עצמו למאוד. ומחבר, sometimes you see, the Ben Ish Chai himself, מרן זכרונו לברכה, you see in their ספרים, they spoke with such ענווה, humility, you know, not being haughty or arrogant, חס ושלום. ויש נחדל מלדבר דברים כאלה, אלא בראשית מאמר פותח יד בתשובה. There's another kind of posek that when he writes, he doesn't start with these, you know, humble tones. He just gets right to it. Right to the, you know, issue at hand. Sheila, kach vekach, tshuva. It says this and it breaks down, boom, right into the tshuva. But don't think, says the Ben Ish Chai, that that's necessarily a result of haughtiness. It's just a different style. ולב ברמות רוחה אבידך. He's not doing חס ושלום from גאווה. אלא טעמו ונימוקו, עמו, דקמי שמי הגליה, וממה נפשך? אם הוא ענב שפל באמת בפני עצמו, למה יפרסם ענבה שלו? ואם באמת אינו ענב ושפל בפני עצמו, ורק היד כותב את דברי ענבה אלו, הנה זה אבון פלילי להתעטף בתלית שאינה שלו, ואין לך גאווה גדולה מזו, יושבת במצפוני הלב וחלוטה על לוח ליבו. Which means, he says, there are, that second style of writing, the guy knows, in Shamayim, they know my intentions. So he says, ממה נפשך, I don't have to write it. If in Shamayim, they know that I'm being ענב, so what do I have to write it down and be mefarsim, publicize my anava to everybody else? And if I'm really not an anav, I'm just writing that I'm an anav, so what's that?
Lying.
In the words of Rav Steinman, alav shalom, gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. It's just gaiva, big gaiva. So he says, therefore, this second style of ktiva is what? Just, let's just deal with the issue at hand without all the formalities. We'll jump right to it. Now, nevertheless, then the Ben Ish Chai, wow, time flies. What time is the courses?
Three.
Okay. Now, today was your Kalali day, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, he is? It's Shema Kamaisis. So there was no Shir Kalali?
No.
Hazara.
Yeah. Oh, there's tests?
No, just like...
Some
oh, like, okay, got it, okay. So, I like tests.
I like tests.
Huh?
Tests are good.
Tests prepare you for the next world. You know, I tell people all the time, the Gemara says, it's Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Aleph, that there are six questions that we are immediately asked upon our arrival in Olam HaEmet. Yeah? First thing is, Nasata v'natata be'emunah, kava'ata itim la'torah, tzipita li'shua, asakta b'pirav rivya. Now, fine. Did you conduct yourself honestly? That's a yes or no question. Next question is, kava'at ha'itim la'torah. Were you kova'at ha'itim? Did you set times for Torah study? So hopefully the answer for everybody is going to be yes. So we think, okay, we stop there. Moving on to next question. Tzipita lishua. We're not done yet. If the answer is no, oy vavoy. And even if the answer is yes, what do you think the follow-up question is going to be?
What?
Huh?
What'd you learn?
Zog. Dabir. What'd you learn? Let's hear. Bonishma, from Bereshit ad le'enei kol Yisrael, Nevi'im uchtuvim, Mishnah, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, kol ha'midrashim ve'akol. Hashem says, let's see what you got. You say you did it. As daber. No? It's a little bit of a scary thought. And you can't, you know, there's no bluffing there. You're in olam ha'emet, b'fnei kutcha b'rechu shchinteh. They don't tzchok. So tests are good. It trains the mind to be able to answer those questions. Now, I'm going to leave off with this point, and then pick up with this, I think, tomorrow evening when we have halacha. Tonight's Musar night. But you have to understand, the Ben Ish Chai says, even though there are different styles, all being legitimate, of writing and paskening v'chule, but he says there are styles of writing, there are styles of psika that are illegitimate. What does it mean? I mean, as long as it's all, you know, as long as you're Tamid Chacham, you're learning it from the poskim. So what does it mean for a shita, what does it mean for a method to be illegitimate? How do you have an illegitimate method that connects to the Masoret Yisrael? You don't have to necessarily agree with everybody, so how can you call it illegitimate? And the Ben Ish Chai says that although, like we said before, there are different styles, but depending on how you relate to the Chachamim that preceded you, will lend to the validity of your psak, will lend to the validity and the si'ata dishmaya, because you should know, psak halacha is not only about Chochmat HaTorah. Chochmat HaTorah is a big part of it. You can't issue a Psak Halacha without Chochmat HaTorah. But you know what's even more important than Chochmat HaTorah when we're issuing a Psak? Siyata Dishmaya. Heavenly assistance. Hashem's got to be on your side. Depending on how you approach the sugya, that's going to determine how much or how little siyata dishmaya you are going to have to hit the nail on the head with your psa. And we're going to talk about next time what the Ben Ishchai calls legitimate versus illegitimate methods in reaching these psakim. Notwithstanding the legitimacy of both Masorot, Sfarad ve'Ashkenaz, but each side can have legitimacy or illegitimacy with regards to how they arrived at their psak and what they had to do to get there. Bezat Hashem, we'll continue on this journey next time. Thank you for listening. Yom Tov. Atzlacha Rabbah.